Welcome, everybody, to 90s Court. Welcome back to 90s Court.
I'm Lisa Monahan.
I'm Andy Clodfelter, and it occurs to me my name is important. Okay.
I mean, maybe.
I don't know.
The singing,
I don't know
very
what
valuable.
That song was. Don't know what that song was.
Here's the
but
thing.
It's
we always come up with something every episode. But hey, this is more of a mini-sode, so we can do a bunch of little songs. Not like the big clusterfuck that was us singing Stellar. No, pardon me.
That was not great. It was such a cluster, we don't even remember what song it was anymore.
It's true. It was like, I loved when we sang Godsmack together.
Yes.
It was so good.
That was one of those memories I'll always treasure. So we decided for absolutely no reason whatsoever that you all deserved another episode this week.
I decided that I like talking to you and recording an episode is fun. So that's why I was like, hey, knock, knock, knock. Hey, Andy. Recess.
No,
also,
that's good.
Like,
yeah. I was trying to be cute, and then instead I just feel like a dick now.
It's all
just
good.
Like, so this is recess. So we're not going to be having a court case per the usual. We have adjourned, and we'll talk about the polls and everything in the full episode, so that way we don't have to repeat it then.
Mm-hmm.
Excited to hear how the polls went.
We'll see. Facebook's still cranking away.
Facebook's
whatever that
still
means,
going.
So,
yeah. So.
But yeah, as with all recess minisodes, we just talk the shit about whatever we want to talk about, whatever makes us happy.
Yeah.
Just shoot the shit. And I want to get started pretty quickly with something that I actually found recently in my old bedroom at home and sadly had to trash because it didn't work. And that, most ladies might remember, is the Casio Secret Sender 6000. Why 6000? Who cares? It was the 90s, and people just put numbers behind stuff to make it sound super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, 6000 is a very uncommon number, too. It's not like 1000, 2000, or 5000. Like, they're just like, nah, fuck it, 6.
6000. Like, it makes me think, were there 5,999 prototypes that failed before this one? False. There were not.
Yeah.
If you are not familiar with the Casio Secret Sender, it is essentially the 90s peak.
What?
Into the 90s peak into like an iPhone or a laptop, because it gave you maybe not a laptop. That's being too generous, way too generous. But maybe like a phone with text messaging capabilities.
Hold
essentially,
the phone.
Are you looking it up now? Do you
yes,
because
here's the thing. She told me that, and I said, "What the hell is that?" And then I was like, actually, don't tell me, because I wanted to find out on the spot. So this is my first time seeing a Casio Secret Sender.
Yes, they are.
Ever.
They're just little rounded rectangle guys, kind of purplish blue colored with a gray bar at the top and yellow buttons and gray. Essentially, what it was like, if you were in class and you were passing notes, you're like, my wrist hurts, I'm tired of writing. You pull out your Casio Secret Sender and you send your one friend a message.
You only have connection to one person.
Well, here's the thing. In order for other people had to have them. And I was going to say, we'll talk about this later. Don't look at anything about the price. This is I want to quiz you later. I just want to.
Okay.
The only issue is that you would have to have a friend that also had this, and that friend could not be more than 25 feet away.
25 feet?
I know. Like, I couldn't even, if my kids were in the next room, I couldn't like yell at them over Casio Secret Sender 6000s. Like, I would have to yell at them audibly. It would use infrared signals to send messages to each other. But again, someone else had to have this with you.
Yes.
So what was so interesting about this was that this little stupid rectangle with a full keyboard and a space and enter and all, it had a bunch of random features that were so fun. Like I said, the messaging feature, which I'm sure with that 25-foot range limit barely worked. And the best part is, I read this, it could only send 4 lines of text, and each line had a limit of 16 characters.
What?
That's worse than like the first round of tweets.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to do some math real quick. 16 times 4
is
40, so it's 64 letters.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's it. That's all you
can
do.
And that's not even with spaces.
Not even
in there.
Well, yeah, the spaces would count. I'm sure they counted. But so it would have that. It have the messaging feature. With that kind of amount, I can't imagine you could say more than like K or hi. And then you know, or just crash and take,
I'm
like,
I'm guessing
7 minutes.
More than likely it was like boobs, but like 8008Z.
Well, the thing that's killing me is that this is assuming that if you were 25 feet away from each other, you couldn't just look at the person and either mouth the word or just say it quietly and they would hear you. But you've got this Casio secret sender. You're like, wink, wink. This isn't going to get us in trouble with Teach. Like,
yeah. And this is in the age when when there are no other like random electronic devices that people have. So like if somebody's typing on one of these things, people are absolutely going to notice and say, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah,
like, it's not like you're going to just sneak by.
Excuse me. It's 1994. What is this crazy technology you're pulling out of your Abercrombie and Fitch hoodie? So it had the messaging feature, which is obviously pretty important. It had a secret diary with a password setting so you could keep all your super crazy 8-year-old secrets, like, who do you have a crush on? And what's your favorite food? Gotta keep that
shit
on lock.
Why would you write those things down? Like,
because
when do you need those?
Because when you're, I don't know what boys did because I wasn't a boy. I assume boys probably had journals or something like that. But girls.
False.
No. Okay. So girls had diaries. Girls have diaries. It's just your place. I love my boyfriend. Or like, I miss Andrew from school, and you know, you just write all this dumb shit down, and you just gotta pour it out because you don't know how to tell your parents about it, and you don't have any friends yet because you're 8, and so you just have weird feelings, and you're about to go through puberty, and things are terrible, and you gotta get it out somehow. So,
excuse me, I had hella friends when I was 8 because I was so cool.
No, I had negative friends. People spat at me. It was a bad age. Okay, no one spat at me, but people were super rude. But I also looked like a donkey, so. You also had a fun face maker. So it was like your chance to make your first avatar. I distinctly remember this. It was just like little dotted pixel lines and you could have like a fat face or a skinny face. And I'd always give myself like a real skinny face to be like, that's how I look. P.S.
God,
I didn't.
Those lip sounds are so bad.
But you knew what I was doing, right? But
yes.
You got it in full, full sound. And then there was a fortune teller function just to get you addicted to astrology. Really early.
Really?
A matchmaker feature, which I don't have any idea how that could have possibly worked because you...
Hold on. So this is for children, right?
I think I saw that it was marketed for ages 8 to 13.
Okay, so 8 to 13-year-olds, matchmaker function. Who are you trying to matchmake with?
Probably the one boy in the whole school that has one, maybe.
Right?
But you can't send him a message because he's in a different classroom and more than 25 feet away. So
Casio, who were you shooting for on this?
I think they were just, when you're a little girl, you just get all up in arms about boys and you just want to, I don't know, that shit was really charming at some point. Okay. The best feature of this damn thing though, Andy, was that it had a remote control feature. So you could program, you could find a TV and like in the settings, you could find it and you'd be like, boom, and you turn the channel. And like I drove my parent, probably my dad, but I probably definitely did my mom, but I definitely did my dad and maybe grandparents if I was being a real shit that week. But like just turn the TV off or turn the channel because and no one would know because you're just on your fucking Casio secret sender on the couch eating Cheetos.
Yeah, no one would know as you're typing on this thing that has no function because there's no one else around you that could use it. What are you doing?
Dude, just being a shit. That's what you do. And then you have an address book for all those holiday greeting cards you sent out in 1994 as a 9-year-old.
Sure. Yeah, when you're 9, sure.
Yeah. Okay. All this said, it was just I just found mine. I tried so hard. I got new batteries. Nothing worked. I eventually had to just toss it because I couldn't bring it back to life. But if you could take a guess in 1994, what do you think this item retailed for?
Here's the thing. I don't want to overshoot it because I'm almost positive that I will if I say a big number. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to keep it reasonable. I'm going to say $60.
Okay. The website I saw today said it retailed for $120. I know. That made my butt pucker real hard.
Because
I had
$120.
And now I'm
money bags Monahan over here.
Well, here's the thing. I grew up pretty not well off, and I distinctly remember the day that I got it, and I'm pretty sure I was with my dad. I think he was the one that got it, But I would be hard pressed to believe that anyone spent $120 on me to be able to change a fucking channel on the TV.
You have to understand, from recent ads that I've been seeing, people post like old ads of the other nostalgia things on Twitter and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like the N64 was like $149, so you basically almost bought a Nintendo 64 for this fucking piece of garbage.
Now I'm really hoping that the information I read was incorrect and that they are currently retailing for $120 because they're kind of a collector's item now. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna go ahead and go on the record and say I remember it being like a big deal when I got this. And I knew zero people that had one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But no, I think it's one of those things where if it was like a lot more people had it, I could see it being like a much bigger deal.
Yeah. I don't remember anybody having it. And if I did, they were probably cooler than I was and were definitely not shooting me a message within 25 feet. They were probably just shooting me dead shark eyes. Be like, don't look at me, fat girl.
God. 94. I cannot believe eight or nine like years old. Man, I don't. Like, that was just so low on my list. Like, I would never care about something
like
this.
Would you not? Well, yeah, I guess
we're just so different.
Well, I mean, but I also had video games. But first, this was, I mean, yeah, but being a girl. And I think this was, like, the kick, like, the platform in which I jumped off into having, like, my live journal all throughout high school, having Zanga at some point. You do journaling, and then you do it electronically, and then the internet comes around, and you make a bunch of horrible mistakes, and then you get on LiveJournal for, like, 15 years.
A lot of
years.
Life mistakes.
Yeah, a lot of really big mistakes. And then you have a LiveJournal. And so, yeah, girls be journaling, am I right? Mm-hmm. And so this is just an excuse to do that. But that's the Casio
girls
Secret Sender.
Girls be journaling.
That's our slogan. 90s quote. Girls be journaling.
Girls be journaling. And boys be gaming.
It's true.
So that's great. I literally have never heard of this device before, and so I'm, but like it is cool, like especially just in the fact that it's like, hey, like something like this never really existed, at least as far as for kids and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of cool to be like, oh my gosh, they were kind of like hinting towards texting, which I mean, cell phones weren't even really designed for texting for quite a while, even once they were out. So
car phones.
What?
Did your family ever have a car phone?
They did.
Like the big one with the bag that you have to carry around.
It was literally just always under the seat in the front passenger seat, and I don't think I ever saw them use it.
Oh, my family used it all the time.
It was just for, it was like expensive to make calls or something like that, so it was pretty much like,
you're right.
I think it was just like for emergencies only. So I was never in an emergency, so I never saw it being used. So
yeah.
God, sometime we should do cordless phone. I think we have that down. Cordless phones versus car phones.
That's a big one.
Because cordless phones still to me were such a clutch thing. I mean, it seems like such a trivial thing now, but man.
Boy, nothing like, felt better than being on the phone with someone that you were like madly in love with in the ninth grade on a cordless phone for hours, and then it gets really hot and you can't even rest it on your face anymore. Because it's so fucking. Because the battery's about to explode onto your eyeballs. Anyway, we'll save that rest of that for court case.
Sure. So I did want to talk about a thing. This is just. It's just a crazy. Just. I have this tendency sometimes to just search like, 90s weird, toys or 90s weird candy or 90s weird. You know, just like because I just want to find stuff that's just ridiculous that I'm like, oh my god, I cannot believe this existed. Because frankly, I mean, this kind of is a 90s Buckwild product, but not in the same time. But here, I'll tell you what it is. So, I don't need to tease this because I don't know how to tease it without just telling you. So, I'm here to talk to you today about the incredible Crash Dummies. Now, if you're wondering what the incredible Crash Dummies is... So do you recall the crash test dummies that were in those commercials?
I do. And that's the only memory I have of this.
Yeah. Cause they would have like for a long time, they would show like in every commercial, they'd have like just, it's been tested X, Y, Z. And so they'd have these like crash dummies and it wouldn't be a big deal. But then I think they started like some company started like animating them and making them like real life or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so like they became like, man, people really like these crash dummies. It's like, hey, like the point of a crash dummy is to basically be like, it's simulating a person, but it doesn't have any personality. And then they're like, what if we gave it personality? And so that's how they originally came up with the commercialized idea of crash test dummies. But I'm here to talk about the incredible crash dummies, which is basically a furtherance of the commercials, where they thought, people love this shit.
Yeah.
People love these fucking dummies. And so, as always in the 90s, everybody is wanting to make a buck off something. Mm-hmm. Not like it's that different today. But they decided, we're going to make them into everything. So the main thing I wanted to talk about was Incredible Crash Dummies toys.
Okay.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. They thought, what better thing for kids than fucking dolls that, like, blow up and are hurt? And here's the thing. As a boy, and, like, the functionality of these toys, they were actually really rad. Like, they were, like, when you think about most toys, like, they don't have, like, they might make a sound or something like that, mm-hmm. Or just nothing. Like, you know, that's the more
yeah,
often
they just
thing.
Exist. It's just,
they do nothing. They just exist. And look at them. They look just like the thing. But these, they had them, they had names for them. They had special names for each character. I think, like, the first release was in 1981. They had Vince, Larry, Daryl, Spare Tire, Skid the Kid, Hubcat, and Bumper.
Excuse me. Hold the phone. Vince, Larry, and then, like, they go into some pretty ball ass names like Skid Mark.
Yeah, I'm gonna be the first to say, like, I didn't read through this list ahead of time, and so Vince, Larry, and Daryl, you're like, oh sure, and then they're like, here's things that just aren't fucking names at all.
Bumper.
There's Spare Tire, Skid the Kid, Hubcat, and Bumper, and Pit Stop. Yeah, so I don't know. They each had different vehicles assigned to them. But basically, what was awesome about these toys was that they were designed basically to break.
Okay.
Not like actually break, but basically designed to be like a crash test dummy. So they would have like a button that would make like their head pop off and their arms pop off. And then they would have another button that had their legs pop off.
Okay.
And so it had like, that was one cool thing was like, I don't know, as a kid, I just thought it was super cool. I never owned these toys, which was a bummer. But my friend did, which was weird because I remember he never really had that many toys. Like, he just didn't get toys that much. He usually just had video games. And it was kind of one of those things where it's like, you better really want this to get this. So the fact that he had it was pretty amazing. So he got these, and I remember just being like, I want to go to town on these. These are so cool. And they came with a car.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd have a car, and then there was also play sets that came with them. They had the crash test center. So, like, kind of like, you know, in the commercials where they show them in the center and everything like that, mm-hmm. it came with basically a version of that crash test center.
Really?
Yeah. And then
so
the car,
fun.
I know, had, like, these big, like, target on the wall and stuff like that, and you'd run the car and do it. And, of course, the car, when it impacted on the front, mm-hmm. like, the hood would pop up and, like, the, you know, like, different things would pop out and stuff like that from the car. And then you'd just, you know, put it back together. It wasn't really hard to put back together. It was pretty easy, but... but evidently, so, like, the spring-loaded things on them, I was reading up on this, so the spring-loaded things on them that would basically, like, shoot off the parts or whatever, apparently they were very fragile.
Yeah.
And so the toys, a lot of times, broke pretty quickly.
Yeah, so unfortunately. This whole time you've been talking, I've been like, if I were a parent, I'm a parent now, if I were a parent in the 90s and someone gave my kids something, they're like, hey, here's a toy, it's meant to break. Mm-hmm. I would just be like, awesome. Hey, kids, I'd turn the TV on, go to the other room, and I would take that, I'd put it right in the trash can. Because the last thing I want to do is be fucking chasing random body parts for a crash test.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not just one, like, here's a, like, fucking Daryl, and, like, getting his arm and, like, shoving
fucking
it back
Daryl.
Into the plastic socket. The little knob that goes into his arm socket just breaks off instantly. And just
yeah.
No. No.
Punt. So here's the thing. So they did not stop there, though. That was generation one. That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, no.
They had generations of these motherfuckers, and between 1991 and 1994, you were just getting a new toy set every year. So there was the first set of those ones I mentioned. They had the characters I mentioned. They had a crash car they had a student driver car, a crash cycle, a crash chopper, a crash ATV, a crash lawnmower, a crash go-kart, and many other things.
I'm stepping on those with my bare feet in the dark right now. and hating everything about life.
You're
I can
welcome.
Feel it. I can feel it.
The next series, they changed the names because they were like, you know, I think the commercials might have changed their name too, or they changed the personas mm-hmm. of the characters. Because if there's one thing you need to know when you're dealing with Crash Test Dummies is they need to have personality.
Yeah.
Like, just like really get into the personality of these destructible men.
Yeah, this spooky mannequin guy that's meant to break apart. No, yeah, let's make him like let's was that personificate? No, personification.
Yeah. So they said evidently they said Vince and Larry, you need to get the fuck out. So they just punted Vince and Larry right off the bat, and they brought us Slick and Spin. Daryl randomly is still there. I don't know. Sure. They just were like, Daryl, you can stay.
Daryl's a bad boy. He gets
to stay. Yeah, so Daryl, you're a bad boy and you can stick around. I guess he was the only guy who knew how to ride a motorcycle. The two others that drove cars, they're like, you're replaceable. and then pretty much everybody else stayed the same because they're like, it's mainly because the main guys are the ones that drive the cars, right? Like those were kind of the ones that I think of as the ones driving the cars, not mm-hmm. like motorcycles or choppers or ATVs or anything like that. Generation 3, apparently it was the same things with Pro-Tech suits. I don't know, but apparently, let me read something real quick. Mm-hmm. So apparently there were some bad guys. Apparently there was a plot to all of this. Yeah, apparently there were junk bots that were created as the primary antagonist to the crash dummies. They were ruthless killing machines.
Sure.
The sinister leader, Junkman, and his henchmen, Piston Head, Jackhammer, and Sideswipe, bent on destroying the crash test dummies. So,
oh my gosh, where is this horrible franchise?
I guess that was the third generation. They're like, we need to have something more than just breaking these guys. We need to have people, bad guys, to break the guys. So apparently they came out, in addition to coming out with new and improved versions of the Crash Test Dummies, they also came out with those enemies I said, Junkman, Piston Head, Jackhammer, Sideswipe, and a separate special Junkman, I guess, with a video if you wanted it.
Okay.
Anyways,
I don't want it.
You didn't want it? That's weird. I'm surprised.
Nobody wanted this.
Yeah. So let me just to go over how fucking wild it was, how much fucking traction these Crash Test Dummies got. They also were brought back. Hot Wheels was purchased. Evidently, Hot Wheels was purchased by Mattel in 1998. And so Hot Wheels was like, let's do Crash Test Dummies. I don't know why they just decided that was a thing. So they made a bunch of them basically with like their heads popping out of the cars or whatever. Like, I don't think it was like they weren't the destructible toys anymore, but they made them. In addition to that, in 1993, they had a half-hour television special called The Incredible Crash Dummies.
Why?
It was aired on Fox Kids on May 1st, 1993. And was basically composed completely of computer-generated imagery. It was the adventures of Slick and Spin. And so I think that's how they got traction, probably, was because of the TV show, so they kind of caught on. Mm-hmm. And then in 2004, so this is out of our decades, but they came back.
No.
Because Fox knows what its people wants, and it's like, you know what? We want things from, like, 11 years ago.
Wait, you said 2004 this came back?
2004 it came back and they made more animated shorts of the Crash Dummies.
Why? Fox?
I don't know.
At that point, Fox was like, had dementia, and at this point in 2004 it was starting to lose touch with everything that ever made it good. So yeah, that makes sense.
It's true. One cool thing, I could have sworn I've played this, but I could not tell you for sure.
Okay.
They made a video game. Oh yes. Technically, they made multiple video games because they had one on Nintendo and Super NES. They had it on Genesis and Amiga, which we need to talk about
Amiga
at some point because as a game system, it's not like it's kind of one of those things that like only the elite gamers know about, you know, not like me. I have no idea what it is. I just hear people mention it a lot, but I think it's one of those game systems that didn't really catch on as much.
Okay.
So then they also ended up having them come out on Master System, Game Boy and Game Gear, but they were obviously a little bit toned down.
Okay.
And then lastly, comic books, because fuck
it.
Oh my
God. Okay, here's the thing. I want to shit on how much they expanded the product, but literally anything that comes out these days, they spread it thin like the shittiest layer of peanut butter across the earth. They're like, oh, you like, what's a cartoon right now that's popular?
SpongeBob. Still,
you like SpongeBob. SpongeBob's an incredible example because they're like, you like SpongeBob? Here's shirts. Here's cups. Here's underwear. Here's a toilet bowl brush. Here's a SpongeBob women's 2XL bathrobe. Like, it's
SpongeBob
everything.
SpongeBob vibrator.
No.
No.
No. No. Bad boy. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want it. No, okay. I don't want that. I do want that robe, though. That robe sounds pretty good.
Nice. Last thing, Lisa, before you, I'll let you go on, but I forgot to mention they did also make a movie.
Shut the front door. A movie?
Yeah.
Why? What year did that come out? Why?
It came out. It was produced in 1993. So it came out around then.
Fine.
So anyways, enjoy that.
I don't want
knowledge.
It. Oh,
you know what? I just looked this over. It's calling it a film, but I'm looking at this now, and it says it was on Fox Kids, so I think this is the same thing as the TV show.
Oh, maybe holiday spent the Crash. The Incredible
like
Crash Dummies
thing.
Christmas Spectacular.
Yeah, so exciting. So anyway, so that was the thing. I just needed to bring that because I was just like, I had that when I saw that. I was like, oh my God, I love these toys. But then when I looked into it, I'm like, how did this become such a thing? I don't understand.
Depression.
Yes.
Necessity.
Mm-hmm. Necessity.
Yeah,
yes.
Necessity. Opportunity. So maybe,
Making that cheddar.
Making that cheddar. Maybe not the best way to make cheddar.
No.
Maybe not. Well, shit. But there's a Crash Dummies. Yikes. Thank you for bringing that into my life, I guess. Shit.
You're welcome.
Okay. This is a recess episode. We're trying to keep it shorter, right? So I wanted to try something new tonight. Andy has no idea what I'm about to do. So if it sucks, that's fine. I don't mind taking a hit, be like, wow, that sucked. Never do it again, Lisa. That's cool. I can take constructive criticism pretty well. I have an idea for Andy. I wanted to quiz him on something, and I think this would be fun.
Oh, God.
Okay. It's like pin the tail on the movie quote is essentially what it is. Or like pin the movie quote on the tail. You know what I'm trying to say.
Oh, my God.
I know,
the words. Words. So hard.
Again, I've had zero wine tonight. This is just my normal brain trying to
function. Oh, God. Sober Lisa. What's going on?
Sober Lisa can't function. Okay. I wanted to present three quotes to you from an actor. And I've got two different sets. Okay. I have one for an actor and one for an actress. And I wanted to see if you can tell me which quote belongs to a certain movie. Okay. This is hard, but I think it'll be fun. Okay. Okay. My first section is Brad Pitt. Which quote is from the movie Fight Club?
Okay.
I assume you've seen Fight Club?
Yeah.
Okay. These are all three quotes from Brad Pitt in films he has made from the 90s, okay? I will not tell you what they are until later. Option one, forgive me if I have a lingering respect for life. Option two, I guess in the end you start thinking about the beginning. And option three, come on, he's insane. Look, right now he's probably dancing around in his grandma's panties, rubbing himself in peanut butter.
What was the second one?
I guess in the end you start thinking about the beginning.
And what was the first one?
Forgive me if I have a lingering respect for life. Which quote belongs to Fight Club?
I'm really tied between one and two. Like, I know three. There's no way.
Yeah. Okay.
I could totally... This is the thing. It's like, I'm glad you chose some quotes that were not easy, because this is tough.
Yeah. I was trying this out on Jack. I was like, well, this should be pretty hard. I was like, my quote is, first rule about Fight Club, don't talk about Fight Club.
Yeah, you're like, fuck you.
He's never going to get it.
Fuck you, you idiot.
Yeah. One more time. One.
You know what? Just because I know the plot enough of it. Yeah, go through them one more time.
One, forgive me if I have a lingering respect for life. Two, I guess in the end, you start thinking about the beginning. And number three, go ahead.
I'm going to go with one. It just makes sense in the plot that he's basically, this is my logic. is that he is basically telling Edward Norton that he's like lame or something like that. Okay. And he's like, forgive me for having a lingering respect for life. But I could tell by your reaction that's wrong.
Yeah, that's correct. It is wrong. Forgive me if I have a lingering respect for life is from the movie Interview with a Vampire.
Fuck. So number two is
number
right.
Number two is from Fight Club.
Damn it.
Yeah. And then number three is from the movie Seven. Probably God. One of my favorite movies from
those
the
are
90s.
Some good ass movies too. Yeah, damn, like those... I would love to talk about Seven at some point.
We
that's
and
such
we
a
will.
Good film.
I loved this shit.
Oh, we like pairing actor. We like pairing actors together. We should never mind. I was gonna say we should totally do Fight Club at Seven, but I know
I
Fight Club
great...
would win for sure.
Oh, that's not well. I mean, but even but the people who vote for Seven are like my people, so that's fine. If you want to take Fight Club,
it's
kind of
like your
Ren
and Stimpy thing.
It's true. Yeah, I'll go down with it in flames. I don't even care.
Okay. Well, at least I was almost there, but I missed it. So what's what's number
section two? Section number two. Sarah Michelle Gellar, and it's okay if she's not your number one jam. She's definitely not mine. Right. Sarah Michelle Gellar, aka Buffy the Vampire Slayer, if you're confused about which Sarah this is. Which quote is from the movie Scream 2? Okay. Number one. That is so moral majority. You can't blame real life violence on entertainment. Mm-hmm. Two, listen, you little shit stick Mayberry ass reject. There's been a murder and you are going to fry in hell if you ignore it. And number three, I hate it when things don't go my way. It makes me so horny.
Jeez.
These are all quotes from Sarah.
The sad thing is I want three. I'm so excited to find out what three is from because that is such a good quote.
Yeah, these are all quotes from Sarah Michelle Gellar in movies that she starred in the 90s. Which one?
If you fucking, if you cheat and be like, number one is Scream 1, so sorry.
No,
or number two is Scream 1.
I wouldn't be that mean, no.
God, because both of those, one and two, sound so very plausible for Scream 2. Give it to me one more time.
Number one, that is so moral majority. You can't blame real life violence on entertainment. And number two, listen, you little shit stick Mayberry ass reject. There's been a murder and you are going to fry in hell if you ignore it.
Okay.
And then the third one, just for fun. I hate it when things don't go my way. It makes me so horny.
I'm going to go with number one.
Yeah, you did it. That was a quote.
I did it.
Number two, the shit stick Mayberry ass reject that came from I Know What You Did Last Summer.
She was in that too?
I guess so. I don't remember.
No wonder. It's two murder movies.
Yeah. People like to stab her in the 90s. So that would make two of us. Then number three, I hate it when things don't go my way. It makes me so horny. That's from none other than one of the dopest movies from the 90s, Cruel Intentions. Do you not remember that one with Ryan Phillippe?
Can I tell you something?
What up?
You're going to hate me. I hate admitting things on this podcast and people give me shit about it later. I've never seen Cruel Intentions.
That's okay. I was reading through the quotes and I was like, what the fuck is going on? Mm-hmm. Like reading through the quotes for this movie. I was like, I think I need to go back and rewatch it as an adult and like question everything. You should watch it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It had, shit. I can see her face, her weird little mousy face. It's not Renee Zellweger. It's definitely not her. Oh, Alabama, Sweet Home Alabama. She's in all the. Oh, come on, Lisa. If I Google something, I'll crash.
No help here.
I will. You know, she's a little mousy, cute face. Damn it, Lisa.
Well, I guess that's a mystery to remain unsolved forever.
I can see her face. Reese Witherspoon. There it is.
Reese Witherspoon. That checks out. Okay.
Yeah.
So no, thank you. I actually really like that segment.
Do you? Okay,
a lot.
I'm
that
glad
was
you
a lot
liked
of fun.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, I mean, it's fun to research.
It was mainly because you picked two good ones that were like pretty doable. So
yeah. And I mean, there are a bajillion movies that came out in the 90s. So this is an easy one to keep on, you know, I'll just have to play to the judge a little bit.
Yeah. And it's good too, to get reminded of movies too, for possible future court cases too. So
yeah.
So I think that's going to do it here for the recess episode. Keep it a little bit tighter. We could go maybe a little longer than we were expecting for this, but it was a lot of fun. So glad we could hang out. So let's start with where to find us.
For sure.
Twitter and Facebook at 90s court. Check us out on Instagram at 90s.court. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you're on Apple Podcasts, you know, it'd be real swell. Why don't you hop on there, click that 5-star review, and then leave us a nice little message being like, y'all are dope.
Y'all are
You're
dope.
Beautiful, and I love you.
It's true.
The thing I love about this is that I could totally see someone being like, I'm going to put exactly the words, y'all are
That's
dope.
That's 100% something I would do. Just verbatim. Yeah, just throw that
exactly.
shit back, back at you.
So. So yeah, but no, seriously, it's not for like an ego thing. We don't care about that. It's 100% just because Apple Podcast reviews, for some reason, Apple Podcasts is like reviews are all that matters. Mm-hmm. So reviews and ratings are super huge. So we'd love that. So, Lisa, did you have anything else you wanted to say to our wonderful listeners before we disengage?
Just keep sending us stuff that you want to talk about. Like, I've been like cracking away at my friends and family to be like, what was something that you, I mean, not that we don't have a bajillion ideas, but it's like, what is relevant? Oh, and also on Facebook, I did the, we'll talk about it more.
God.
The cringy lyrics. Oh, what an amazing
that
discussion.
That exploded.
Oh,
everybody
so
was
fun.
All over that.
Yeah, I'll have to share it to Instagram too, but maybe we'll cover that in more detail on the next episode. But we'll talk about that more on the proper episode.
Thanks, Incubus, for reminding us just how fucked lyrics can be. So
Anyway, well, that's
so
a wrap.
Anyways, thanks everybody for joining us for Recess. We will catch you, as always, on Monday for our next court case.
Adios. See you next week. Cowabunga, dude.
Peace. Bye.
Bye.